according to Luke. Glory
to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let the house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is an old hymn called Standing on the Promises. It says, "Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God." It is a wonderful hymn reminding believers of their need for daily dependence on the promises of God. Have you ever stopped to consider what those promises might be? There is a lot of talk about claiming God's promises. Books have been written about promises found in both the Old and the New Testaments. You can even find them in pocket size. You can take out the book and thumb through it until you find a promise that seems to apply to your situation. People talk of claiming God's promises because they provide comfort in times of distress. They give strength when our faith wavers and we are weary. They're easy to pick out. One verse that you can memorize and hold on to. And there are so many books of promises, so many cute wall hangings. You can go to all sorts of catalogs and find wonderful little sayings that you can put on your wall and claim as your very own. But there are promises with choosing a verse of the Bible and deciding that it is a promise made by God to you. First, there is a failure to understand what a promise is. As Barnabas Piper stated, a promise tells a bit about who God is and what he will do. It is anchored in his holiness, goodness, power, and sovereignty. And it will come to pass in a way only God knows and ordains. We cannot claim a promise as though we can control God. Doing so changes both the nature of the promise as a gift from God and the way God intends that promise to be realized. God will make it happen, not us. Another problem is taking verses out of context, not really understanding what they mean. Too often people lift verses from the Bible because they sound good. You can't read just one verse and think you understand God's purpose. You need to read around that verse, maybe read the entire chapter or even the whole book. You need to understand that sometimes those promises you read come with something more. I read once about a person who was told by a well-meaning individual that she was praying a particular blessing for her, and she responded that she did not want that blessing because she understood that it came with a dire warning. She knew she could not accept the blessing without also accepting the curse. And another problem is claiming promises that are not ours. I remember talking to the confirmation students at my internship site about the Bible verses that they've chosen as their confirmation verse. One girl had decided on Psalm 46:5. God is within her, and she shall not fail. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Especially if you're a woman, right? God is within her, and she will not fail. There's one little problem. If you think this is a specific promise to women, you are misreading the verse. To understand what is being meant, we need to understand who she is. Psalm 46 is a song of comfort that highlights God's protection and presence during tumultuous times. The imagery in the song contrasts the chaos of the world with the assurance of God's support. The reference to her in the line, God is within her, symbolizes Jerusalem, often personified as a woman in biblical poetry. This personification emphasizes the city's revered status in God's eyes as a dwelling place for God's people. You'll also notice it's not really a promise. It's a statement. The words do provide comfort and hope to believers. The entire psalm does, as it reminds believers that God is our refuge and strength, our help in times of trouble. But choosing Psalm 46:5 as a life passage simply because of its feminine language, you may want to rethink that before you hang this particular verse on your wall. Let's look at another favorite promise, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declared the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. When you are in the midst of difficult circumstances, perhaps someone has said, listen, God is telling me to let you know that he knows the plans that he has for you, plans for your welfare and not for the calamity that you're experiencing right now. He has plans to give you a future and a hope. The problem is that this particular passage was part of a letter written to a particular group of people. If you read the top of the chapter, you will see that it is part of a letter addressed to those sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, telling them how to act during the time of their captivity. In the midst of the instructions, the prophet states that they would only be in captivity for 70 years, and once that time was completed, God would bring them out of exile back to Jerusalem. Verse 11 in Jeremiah 29 may make you feel comforted, but it is not a promise to you. It is not talking about you. It is talking about exiles in Babylon, not those of us reading it 2,700 years later. You will find as you read verses in context that many of them are intended for specific persons or for specific countries. Let's look at our first reading today, which speaks of the promise that God made to Abraham about his descendants being as numerous as the stars or as numerous as the sands of the sea. Clearly, that is a promise made specifically to Abraham, which God fulfilled in God's own time. I don't think any reasonable person would believe that promise is one that can be claimed today. It is specifically for Abraham. Let's look at God's promises to Abraham more closely. In Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abram, as Abraham was then known, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. We're told that Abram is 75 years old when he leaves his homeland, taking with him his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all their possessions. Time passes. In Genesis 15, our reading for today, Abram complains that he is still childless and that one of his servants will be his heir. God took him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. Then God said, so shall your descendants be. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. And time passes. Abraham and Sarai decide to take things into their own hands, resulting in the birth of Ishmael through Sarai's slave Hagar when Abram was 86 years old. Time passes. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, saying, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. God is saying this to a man who is 99 years old, and God has made this promise 3 times already. God also tells him, and for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her and make her, and moreover will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. And Abraham falls on his face and laughs, saying, can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And God repeats it, Sarah shall have a son, and she'll name him Isaac, which means laughter, and that he will be the father of 12 princes, and God would make of him a great nation. This promise is finally fulfilled in Genesis chapter 21. This promise that was first made so many chapters before, finally, in chapter 21, Isaac is born. God fulfills this promise in God's own time. In the letter to the Hebrews, Paul wrote, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He describes Abraham's obedience and how God fulfilled the promises that Abraham's descendant would be as many as the stars of heaven and the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Now, Abraham may have been confused about how God was going to fulfill the promise, and he may have been concerned about how long it was taking God to act, but he had faith that God would fulfill God's promises to him. What promises in the Bible apply to us today? Promises that we should have faith that God will fulfill in God's own time. There are numerous passages in the New Testament that remind us of God's faithfulness and love, which provide assurance in times of trouble and a foundation for a relationship with God. Let's look at just a few. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John 3, 16 through 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. John 8, 12. Jesus declared, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And of course, the Old Testament is filled with words of encouragement that speak to us today of God's faithfulness and ever-present love for us. Even if they are not promises made to us today, they do provide us with instruction regarding the character of God. As you read through Scripture, looking up some of those verses you see on the greeting cards or wall hangings, read around them and read them in context. If you find yourself claiming a promise, be careful that you're not taking someone else's promise, even if it makes you feel encouraged. If you're looking for something that says that God wants you to get out of every difficulty and wants to give you all the health and wealth you could want, you're not going to find it in Scripture, because that is not God's promise to us. God's promise is that God will be with us in the midst of our difficulties. God has not promised that the life of a believer will be easy. God does promise his presence and his power in the midst of those difficulties to transform us into the image of Christ. That is a promise we can claim, a promise on which we can stand. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, number 502, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.